This RFM podcast was brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Deep Sky Adventures.
In the universe.
Deep Sky.
Deep Sky Adventures.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari. Star Safari.
Well, welcome to Star Safari for another 25 minutes of, well, what's going on in space.
Yeah, we're discussing why space coming onto the World Space Week.
Yeah, which is coming up, well, in October and officially from the 4th to the 10th of October.
Yeah, but because we're in New Zealand, we always one day ahead, we live in the future compared to everything else in the world.
Yeah.
And so we have 5 to 11 of October.
Yeah, we're going to do it a day after, which is, of course, the same day the rest of the world will be doing it.
Just because they're special.
Yeah. Well, and plus it aligns better with the weekend.
Yeah, and the holiday and everything.
Yeah. So the 5th of October is a Saturday, and that's when our World Space Week, which we call Carterton Space Week, is kicking off. So that's going to be pretty amazing, fun-filled week, packed full of things to do.
With rocket launches, and we'll have the planetarium at the event center. We're going to have some amazing talks from expert astrophotographers. Mark G is coming. He was the guest that we were hiding last time, and we were really excited that he's actually attending it. We have another amazing astrophotographer here, right here in Carterton.
Yeah.
His name is Paul Mallinson, and Sam talked about him last time, but I think we don't make justice enough to how amazing his photographs are. Like, he's taking a lot of photographs of planets, and we were just discussing yesterday how he took a photo of a storm on Mars.
Yeah, he basically took a series of photos and watched this sandstorm build in this big valley, big canyon, and then sort of photographed it as it spilled out into this plane. It was quite incredible. You know, and Mars is not an easy thing to take a photo of. It's really, really tiny. And it's a long way away. And his photos were absolutely incredible.
He did it. And Paul is an amazing meteorologist, so he knows everything about the weather. You can ask him anything and he will tell you. He's doing all these presentations about how to predict weather, and but he's really is a maestro.
And whenever we've had a star party or an event on, and Paul's been part of it, he's always offered an incredibly accurate weather forecast, and he's always bang on. So, you know, it's definitely worth having around.
So we have him. Then we have another legend, Commander
David Hedgley,
who used to train New Zealand Navy in navigation, and he is just exceptional. I've met him when we were doing a movie called Natohunga Whakatere, which is our navigation movie that plays in the planetarium, and he was the advisor from a European navigation perspective. And I tell you something, when David came on stage and started to work with the team, it was like something else. Like, everybody got transformed, and he was explaining scenes and how to hold these very old instruments that we had there from the time of Mr. Abel Tasman, that nobody kind of like knew what they were doing, and he just came, picked them up, and he just totally knew what to do with them. Obviously he did. So, and he has some amazing stories as well about navigation and his adventures when he was in the Navy. So David will do a talk as well, and we also have open night, a Star Safari. We have also an astrophotography night where you can come and learn about astrophotography. That's a dedicated astrophotography session at nighttime. So pretty amazing week. And of course, we have a Business Connect event, where businesses are invited to connect. It's like a business meet and greet and understand.
Yeah, we're going to have all the, well, a lot of the local businesses that have an interest in space, the dark sky, any of those things. And they're going to get up and sort of talk a little bit about themselves for a short amount of time. And so it's a bit of like a meet and greet. So everybody there will get to know everybody else. And it's a great format. In fact, Kāpai Carterton ran a very, very similar event, I think last year. And it was for community events, all the different community events got up and talked about, or community, sorry, not events, community groups got up and talked about what they did. So it was like a very quick fire. I think you have about 30 seconds or 1 minute each. And you talk about what you do, and it gives everybody the opportunity just to see who you are, what you do, why you're interested in the night sky.
The night sky. And the guest speaker on that night is Dr. Philippa Gander, who is one of the most famous, world famous chronobiologists. And if you don't know what a chronobiologist is, neither did I.
Yeah, I've never heard of it. So
It was
pretty important.
a chronobiologist is someone who studies how time and timing affects our physiology. And so she was studying how darkness affects our sleep. And so she's going to talk about the importance of having a dark sky reserve and how much better sleep we're going to get here in the Wairarapa Dark Sky Reserve, because everybody's turning their lights off at nighttime, don't they?
Well,
Everybody's
nobody
sleeping.
turns their lights.
And everybody's keeping the lights down, and everybody's lights are on sensors. It's quite an amazing place, Wairarapa.
And it's probably a good time to remind people that, lighting, excess lighting is not good for us. We've evolved over a long time to sleep at nighttime and have it dark, So to have these lights shining in us and around us all the time isn't actually good for us. It's not a good health thing. So even if you aren't worried about the moths, if you're not worried about all the little animals and ecology of saving the night sky, if you're not worried about astronomy and all the astro geeks with their telescopes, think of your own health. Your own health is important as well. And so, turning the lights off, pulling the curtains at night so you're not shining the lights into your next door neighbor's house, turning those
Turn your Christmas lights
your
off.
Christmas light, like
Please turn
it's
your Christmas lights off.
in case you haven't noticed, it's no longer Christmas. We've just turned into spring. Spring comes before Christmas, so if you've still got your Christmas lights up from the last Christmas, you've probably overdone it. So you don't need that stuff going, and of course you're spending power as well. So maybe you don't mind spending power,
I don't think they mind spending
but
time.
no, but if you've got spotlights shining into your neighbors, put them on a sensor, put them on a timer, put a shield on
And
top of
don't
them.
shine it onto your neighbors.
No.
Shine it onto your own courtyard.
Yeah, shine what you want illuminated. I'm sure you
Yeah.
don't want your neighbors
Not your
illuminated.
neighbor's front door or back door or back garden or.
Because there will come a time when people realize and understand these health, negative health effects of having this light on at night. And of course, people will want compensation. So if you're shining your light on someone, there could be a time in the future where there's certain regulations or whatever, and these people will say, well, okay, well, you've harmed my quality of life for the last 10 years. Now I'd like some compensation, please. So we've got to be thinking of, it sounds rather draconian, but it's the light pollution is bad.
So one of the things that Philippa taught us, which I had no idea, she said that inside of our retina, there's a special receptor for blue light. And that receptor for blue light, other than helping us seeing blue during daytime, so those receptors go straight into the optic nerve and then into our eyes and help us seeing color. But the blue light receptors, they go on to a very different part of the brain, which has got to do with the circadian rhythms. And so if your brain detects any littlest amount of blue light, that's the signal that it has to wake up. So then you won't get a good night's sleep, you won't get any rest, you'll be and really interesting. So people who have trees and people who know about how trees make buds to flower, and like when you prune your trees, your apple trees to get them to flower, or and you take care of your orchids to make sure that the orchids have a 12 hours day, because otherwise if they don't have a 12 hours day, they're not going to flower. So all these long day or short day flowers that all these light conditions that they need to have in order to flower. So everybody agrees that flowers need a certain amount of hours of light per year or per period to start flowering, right? Now we discovered that actually humans, when they mature, kids, when they mature, they also need a certain number of hours to in order to get all of the necessary triggers to go into puberty and mature. And although this research is really just started, there is some evidence that says that too much blue light that the kids look at on the screens and on the light pollution that we make might trigger earlier development of kids. In other words, our kids get mature a bit earlier. And everybody around the world has noticed that. We're not the only people who say, oh, these kids are a bit more mature than we were when we were kids. Kids are not kids anymore today. And everybody's wondering, oh, why would that be? And everybody blames pollution, but not light pollution. They blame, I don't know.
Well, it is pollution, and
Yeah.
it's and I think it's that's what we've got to start thinking of. We figured out that it wasn't a good idea to put lead in petrol, because that made us all a bit thicker, and so we stopped doing that because there was pretty good hard evidence of the effect that that had, and so we stopped doing that. And there's other forms of pollution, asbestos, that kind of stuff. We're understanding the CO2 effect CO2 has on the planet, warming it up. So we're starting to grapple with these sort of things very slowly. But light pollution's in the same vein. It's harmful to us. So, we've got to start taking it a bit more seriously. So, but then that's one of the big themes of this space week is to have a look at the effect of light pollution. And Philippa's talk's going to be pretty amazing, really. Right, so other stuff that's happening. So the Polaris Dawn spacecraft finally launched the other day. Now that's taking four astronauts, was taken four astronauts into space, and it's a commercial space flight, and they're on a bit of an elliptical orbit. So I think it's 120 on 180 by about 720 or 740 kilometer orbit. So they go quite high up. Now what that means is they're much, much higher or further from the Earth at one part of the orbit than the International Space Station, which is where a lot of the astronauts have been residing for the last little 24 years. Now, of course, there's a Chinese space station as well, which is at a similar height to the International Space Station. But this Polaris Dawn spacecraft's on this elliptical, and what they're going to do is they're going to do a spacewalk. So they're going to hop out of the spacecraft, wander around outside, or not wander around, but float around outside, and then come back in. And on board, they've got about, I think it's 31 or 32 experiments, different experiments that they've had from various institutions around the world to test microgravity and also its effect on the human body. Also testing, well, not testing, but using, I guess, well, it's the first time someone's used it in space, but so it is kind of test SpaceX's pressure suit. So SpaceX have developed a pressure suit that you can wear out on a spacewalk. And it's quite different than the spacesuits that we're used to seeing. These big, giant, bulky spacesuits with big arms and legs and giant helmets and stuff and a big backpack. The ones that these guys are wearing, it's quite a lot more. It's cut down, a lot smaller, so it almost looks like a suit, not a mini spacecraft that you're wearing. So that'll be interesting. It'll be really interesting watching that as it progresses in the next couple of days. Everything should go fine. But of course, it's new, so you're always a little bit worried, making sure everything's going to work properly. The cool thing is they're the furthest from the Earth than people have been since the Apollo missions. So it's been about 50 years since people have been that far from the Earth, which is quite amazing. And it's a commercial spacecraft that's done it, which is it's pretty cool, really. And SpaceX, so Elon Musk's SpaceX, has done it. There's already talk of a second Polaris mission as well to happen after that.
So that's a pretty cool mission because they fly so high, and it's just the beginning of a new era on space tourism and civilians in space. So you don't have to be one in 24,000 to be elected as an astronaut, which I mean, it's not a bad idea to have someone who's like really good out there to do that, but other people will have the chance. This time of the year is pretty amazing because we have the center of the galaxy coming down from the heavens, as dragged by Te Mātua Māui, the fishhook of Māui. And we were just looking at the sky the other day. Mind you, when the moon is there, you can't really see much of the big fish, the Ikaroa, the name that Maori give to the Milky Way. But when the moon is not there, you can see the fishhook of Maui, and it's right through the center of the galaxy, and it's just absolutely spectacular to just watch, just take it in.
And it totally looks like a hook pulling the Milky Way down, which is you can understand why then, that was the picture people had. Yeah, that looks like a hook. It actually does look like a hook.
It does. And but also in that region of the sky, there are all these spectacular objects that we're looking in the telescope, all these nebulae and open clusters and globular clusters. And it's just an amazing, yet another amazing time of the year to look at.
There's so much stuff in that area. I always like, so there's two areas of the sky where there's lots and lots of stuff. One is between the False Cross and the Southern Cross. There's heaps and heaps of
That's
stuff in
amazing,
there,
yeah.
like clusters and nebula and stuff. It's brilliant. And then this other area, which is around the center of the galaxy. And so when that's this time of the year, well, in fact, about a month ago, it was straight up above our head, nice conveniently early in the evening. Now it's getting a little bit lower, but you've still got all these amazing objects in a really great position. So you've got the likes of Ptolemy's cluster, this really bright collection of hot blue stars. It's a big cluster. It's awesome to look at. You've got we've got Lagoon Nebula. That's pretty cool. That's a group of, when you look at the IPC, this group of bright stars, then you see this cloudy the nebula just sort of next to it. That's pretty cool.
Trifid
Trifid.
Nebula.
Yeah, Trifid's amazing. That's a beautiful nebula that's got, it's almost like flowers, isn't it?
Yeah.
You got when you see a photograph of it, one's like a reddish one, which is a beautiful emission nebula. And then you've got the blue one, which is a reflection nebula. So you've got these two different types of nebula gas clouds, and which is incredible. And of course, the blue ones are illuminated by these hot big stars, belting out loads of radiation that's illuminating this gas cloud. And it's reflecting off the gas and the gas and the dust and stuff in this gas cloud, which gives it that beautiful blue color. And the red is a little bit different. That's absorbing the light and re-emitting it. So it's heating up the gas cloud, which is quite cool. And you've got these dark nebula in there, little dark clouds, which is amazing. They're absorbing that radiation. And if you could see them in infrared, you'd see those. And then what do we got there? Was Wild Duck Cluster.
Yeah.
That does not look like a wild duck. I don't know why they named it that, but someone
Well, it
didn't.
must be upside down.
Yeah, well, it would be,
It's
yeah.
seen from the northern
An
hemisphere.
upside down wild duck.
But the people in the northern hemisphere, they do see the center of the galaxy, but it only goes kind of like around the horizon. So the quality of the observations that they have, visual observations or any kind of observation, even photographic, it's not the same as what we have in here. And we're just so lucky. Like,
Yeah, it was
every
an
time we go
amazing
and
sky. We're
yeah,
so lucky in New Zealand.
every time we go and stargaze at Star Safari, and someone said to us once, "Oh, you guys, maybe you get bored to
Nah,
see
it
the
gets
same
bored.
things over." You don't see the same things over and over again. You just see amazing structures in the Milky Way and in the night sky, and trying to understand what they are and how they got there. I think this is the beauty of stargazing and looking at all the processes that are happening. It's just so magic. And
Yes.
then we have Saturn.
Oh, Saturn's. We were looking at Saturn the other night, and of course, it's got the rings are getting edge on, more and more edge on. So you've got this now line. At the moment, it looks like a thick line going through the planet when you look at it in the telescope. It's quite spectacular. Of course, the rings are spectacular on Saturn. That's Saturn's big selling point, right?
But when one of
Now
the
we can't
kids
see much of the
One of the
rings.
kids in a school we went to the other day, she said, "Oh, Saturn wouldn't be Saturn without
Exactly,
the
yeah.
ring."
It'd
It's
just be
so cute.
Saturn.
I'll be just like, yeah,
Saturn.
Saturn. Yeah.
But Saturn's spectacular. So we got our big telescope out on Saturday or Monday. No, it was Monday, wasn't it? We got
Monday.
it on Monday. We got the big 8-inch refractor out. We were having a look at Saturn. It was absolutely spectacular in that sense. I mean, it's a great telescope. The other couple of objects we've been looking at lately too is M27, which is called the Dumbbell Nebula, and that's in the northern part of the sky. It doesn't get very high. It's quite low. But we had a look at that with the oxygen 3 filter, and we've got this filter, which is a brilliant filter, really brings out the detail in the nebula cloud. So without the filter, it's still quite a prominent objects called a planetary nebula, though nothing to do with planets. It's actually a dying star, and its outer layers are kind of drifting through space. And so it's really beautiful. And, you know, someone looked at it once and thought it looked like a dumbbell, so they call it a dumbbell nebula. But it's quite pretty. And when you have the filter on, you can see the little motley bits in the gas cloud, which is quite cool. And the other one that's amazing is the Helix Nebula. And that's a similar kind of thing. It's a star that's dying. And it's like a big donut, and it's really big. And without the filter, though, you can barely see it. So this is one that responds really, really well to the oxygen 3 filter. And the other filter we've got to get is actually a hydrogen beta filter. That's the other one.
So things are amazing in the night sky, and there's so much stuff to look at. There's Sculptor Galaxy coming back.
That's right. Let's get a nice high. And the Grus Quartet's nice and high in the sky now.
Yeah. So
just about the moon.
Galaxy hunting season starts from now on. So
the big galaxies.
Big galaxies, yeah.
NGC 55 and NGC 253.
As you say.
Yeah. Great galaxies.
So we hope you have really good stargazing and you look up at the stars. The moon will be larger and larger, so we're gonna have a lot of moonlight in the next couple of weeks. But the moon is beautiful.
It's great to look at, actually. You see these there's so many features on it. You've got volcanic features, impact features. All these things tell a story of our solar system. We should actually talk about the moon one day.
Well, I was thinking maybe next time we could talk about our moon garden.
Yeah, awesome. It's clear skies, everyone.
Clear skies.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star
Safari.
Deep Sky Adventures.
In the universe.
Deep Sky.
Deep Sky Adventures.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari. Star Safari.